Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, though our lesson, our thoughts, will be from chapter 3. You know, we live in a world that tells us how we ought to raise our children, contrary many times to what the Word of God says. And then the Bible tells us how the relationship of the husband and wife should be, but society says, oh, that's all wrong. So the question is comes down to, do you believe what the Word of God has to say? Or are you going to believe what the humanists of today's world tell us how we should live? If you would, let's stand together. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 19. This is the introduction into our sermon. Verse 19, for this is thanksworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, you should take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even there hereunto were ye called, because Christ also what? Suffered for us, leaving us what? An example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Dear Heavenly Father, as we see this thought that Christ suffered for us as an example that we may have to suffer for him, Lord, we pray that we would be willing to stand true no matter the occasion. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. You know, when the Bible was written and when Peter wrote this epistle, there were no chapters and there were no verses. The chapters and verses were put in for our benefit. Because it's a whole lot easier for me to say to you, turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse whatever, correct? Because if I said, now find where it says these words, that might be a little more difficult. So it's put in there for your benefit. So otherwise, verse 1 of chapter 3 is just a continuation of what has already been talked about. That Jesus Christ is our example. That he was willing to submit himself to the will of the Heavenly Father. Is it easy to submit to someone else? Well, you know, in our society today, if you are in the army, not everyone's a private. Or a corporal. Or a sergeant. Or a lieutenant. Or a captain. Or a major. Or a colonel. Or a general. In fact, there are far more what than generals. A lot more privates, right? And does a private have to follow the commands of the general? Yes. In other words, if a corporal tells a private what to do, does the private say, you're just a corporal, I don't have to listen to you? No, he has to listen, correct? If a sergeant tells him to do such and such, then the private better do it. You know, the Word of God tells us of the chain of command in society. But one of the problems is any time we read submit or be in subjection to, we struggle. We automatically have a thought in our mind and think, wow, that can't happen. That must have been for another generation. Well, the fact of the matter is John 3:16 was good when Jesus said it, and it's still good today, right? So what we're going to read now in 1 Peter was good when Peter wrote it. Is it still good for today? That's a trick question because some of you aren't going to like what we're about to read. The first word, don't read beyond the first word of chapter 3, verse 1. What's it say? Likewise, Christ did what for us? He suffered for us, right? In their other words, he submitted himself to the Father's will. There was only one way that our salvation could be earned. And that was when Jesus Christ died on the cross, shed his blood for our sins. One way, correct? So when we try to do something other than the way the Word of God states, what happens in our society? As we drift away from the Word of God, we are seeing that our nation is not getting better. We're struggling. Immorality runs amok. Our TV programs act as if people living together sexually before marriage, well, that's okay. Is it okay? The Word of God says it's not. But what are we living in today in a society that is full of immorality? We're struggling, aren't we? Yes, we are. How about this? Pornography. You know, they say, well, the first amendment, the first of the Constitution says freedom of the press. Is that what George Washington and the founding fathers thought, is that we should have the right to pornography? That wasn't what they meant. The freedom of the press meant that the press could say that the government was not right. It wasn't so that you could go around and using the F word and the S word and the D word and that it was okay because freedom of speech. No, we have taken something that was good and we've twisted it so far that the head's about to pop off. And pornography destroys families. It destroys them. And yet society says, well, it's okay. Well, how about drugs? Well, I tell you what, we got drugs now that were once considered illegal. Now we have them for recreational entertainment, which means that now we have more signs knocked over along the roads. We have more crimes committed because people are high. We have more problems in our families because things are wrong because of the use of these things. And so what we see that the further we get from the Word of God, the harder it is on our society. And our world, folks, is miserable. It's miserable. It is constantly looking for peace and contentment. And all they have to do is go to the Word of God and follow the teachings of the Word of God. You know, one of the problems we have is many churches today have compromised the teachings of the Word of God. They've compromised it. They say it's all right to believe part of the Bible, but only the parts that make you feel good. And if you don't like it, well, obviously it was for another generation. It was for another group of people. And yet the Holy Spirit did not give words for certain generations and then not for other, and say, well, you don't, this generation doesn't have to follow it. Because the holy men of God were moved to write the Word of God. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Ooh. Be in what? Subjection to your own husbands. You know, automatically women think, oh, I don't want to do that. Women aren't second class. They're not second class. Any more than fathers are optional equipment in a family. But there is a chain of command. And God the Father made who first? Eve or Adam? Adam. And then he made Eve. And she was to be what to Adam? A helpmeet. What is a helpmeet? It is a companion that helps. Ladies, can I tell you what? God gave you a very important task. He gave you a very important task. God said man should not be alone. How else does he know where the toothpaste is? Okay, I just throw that out. I know where my toothpaste is, and I know where my wife's toothpaste is, and they're not the same toothpaste. Her toothpaste tastes yucky. But God gave an important part to a woman to help man, her husband, to be the best he can be. Okay? The helpmeet. Now, that's what he wants. Now, we're going to find out that man is supposed to cleave to his wife. Right? That man is to love his wife. That he's not to mistreat his wife. And yet, today's society says, oh, a woman shouldn't have to be in subjection because that means man is in control. God has a plan. You say, I don't like that plan. That's okay. You're not alone if you feel that way. We've got a couple of generations of females that have been taught, you're liberated. And so our families are better today than they were 40 years ago, 60 years ago. Can I tell you something? When I was in elementary school, I didn't know any kids of divorced parents. When I was in elementary school, I did not know of any kids who had divorced parents. Can today's kids in elementary school say that? We've liberated our women, but have we done a good service to our families? What's happened? You know, when I was in high school, they worried that kids might chew gum during school. Do you remember that? They worried they would chew gum. Now they have places outside the school where they can smoke. They didn't have that when I was a kid. No. Now, they have problems with smoking and drugs when I was a kid? Yes. Let me tell you something. When I graduated in 1971, the girl that was supposed to be valedictorian was pregnant. You know what they did? They had someone else be valedictorian. They would not let her be valedictorian. How about today? What have we done in our society today? We've said the word of God is not important. We're going to tell you how to live. And are we better than we were back 40, 50, 60 years ago? We're not. The Bible says that the wife is to be subjected to her husband. Notice, if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Conversation, that means their lifestyle. If they do not believe the word, that means, ladies, that if one is married to an unlost person, or to a lost person, unsaved person, by your lifestyle, you can lead them to the Lord even without using the word of God. You are to have a lifestyle that honors the Lord. Verse 2. While they behold your chaste conversation, your lifestyle, coupled with fear. What do you mean fear? That they fear their husband? No, they fear their husband will go to hell. They fear their husband will go to hell. Let me say this to you. What is the most important thing you can do in your life once you become a Christian? Lead others to Christ, right? Once you become a Christian, the best thing you can do is lead others to Christ. Ladies, it's telling you, by your lifestyle, you can win your husband to the Lord. By your chaste, your pure, virtuous life. Should women live a virtuous life? What's that verse in Proverbs? Who can find a what? virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies. Men are to have integrity. You think we should have integrity, men? Hello? Gentlemen? We should have integrity. We should live godly lives. See, women, you may not like what's being said now, but in a moment, it's going to turn to men. Okay? So women, this is what the Lord says. Likewise, Jesus was submissive. Wives are to be in subjection to their husbands. Notice verse 3. Whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and wearing of gold or the putting on of apparel. Now that doesn't mean you shouldn't wear clothes. Yeah, but some people want to say, oh, you shouldn't wear jewelry and you shouldn't make your hair really fancy. And what do you do with the last part of that verse? No, what it's saying is that these aren't the things that are going to win your husband to the Lord. Because it's about getting the lost husband saved. Living properly. Man, I like it when my wife fixes her hair. Right? And wearing a jewelry. Yeah, I'm glad my wife has jewelry. I've given her a ring for our 30 years of marriage. I gave her a ring for our 40th years of marriage. I gave her a diamond necklace thing for our 25 years of marriage. I think jewelry is nice, but it's not all about the jewelry, ladies. It's about being a testimony for the cause of Christ. For your husband and for whom? Your husband and for whom? Your children? Is it important that you're a testimony to your children? Have you ever known a woman that had a reputation of being a screamer? Do you know the neighbor next door who's a screamer? Come on. You don't know a screamer in your neighborhood? I mean, none of you would be the screamer. I hope. Yeah. What's your testimony? Subjection, it means submission, yielding, surrender, obedient. And many have a wrong thoughts concerning submissiveness. Many cringe at the thought. It has a negative connotation, but literally it means to be under. And it doesn't mean that the husband is to throw his weight around. It means that when it comes to spiritual things, he is the spiritual leader. And when it comes to decisions within the house, that he needs to be in charge. Now, does that mean the wife can't give input? My wife gives input all the time. We had 3 dogs. Do you think I wanted 3 dogs? No. I let my wife have input. Because she is an individual and she has opinions. Are all her opinions wrong because she's a woman? Come on. No. No. Does that mean women shouldn't work outside the house? No. What's the gender of my dentist? Well, it was a high school buddy, a friend of mine. But he retired and he sold it to her. I have a female dentist. See, there are those who think, well, she's in subjection. That means she can't work outside the house and that she ought to be barefoot and pregnant all the time. Yeah, how many times have you heard something like barefoot and pregnant? You know, that's what they throw at you, right? That's not the way it is. No. The fact is that the Lord believed that there should be a chain of command. Is it wrong that there's a chain of command? No. No, there is nothing wrong with that. Let's continue reading. Verse 2 says, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. your conversation, your lifestyle, your behavior. Ladies, how would your husband rate your lifestyle? Are you kind or belittling? Are you loving or undermining? Are you bitter or are you sweet? How would your children rate your lifestyle? More importantly, how would the Lord rate your lifestyle? What did Eve say? Eve said, "Me first." Was she right? Come on, was she right? No. And once she ate of the fruit and there was the change, and I think Adam knew immediately there was a change, she didn't throw the fruit away. She didn't say, "Oh no, what have I done?" She then demanded that he have it. She wanted to be in control. Was she right? She was wrong. This is why it's important that we have the right lifestyle. Why they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. We find true beauty, inward beauty. Verse 4, "But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of what? Great price, ladies. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. In other words, the Lord, when looking upon a lady, upon the wife, is expecting a certain behavior. Verse 5 says, "For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands." What type of women? Holy women. Holy women. A meek and quiet spirit. Verse 7. "Likewise, ye husbands." So we had "likewise ye wives," and now it's "likewise ye husbands." Why is it always easier to talk to men the way they should be than it is to women? It is. It's always easier to talk to men. "Likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together, heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." One verse, and it says so much. Gentlemen, we need to be right with our wives so that our prayers are not what? Hindered. If we are not right with our wives, the Lord isn't going to listen to us. Isn't that what it says? "That your prayers be not hindered." Gentlemen, do we want our prayers to be answered? Do we? Then we better be right with our wives. It's what the Bible says. Don't shoot the messenger. Okay, get upset at Peter, who was moved by the Holy Spirit. So that means you're upset with the Holy Spirit. But if you want your prayers to be answered, gentlemen, you need to be right with your wife. That means you're not a tyrant. That means you that you not, believe that you have every right in the home. No. It's together. Together. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 21. "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Committing yourselves, husband and wife. My wife and I have been married for 47 plus years. We've never had one argument in all that time. Why are you laughing? Because you know me, right? Can you imagine having to be married to me for 47 years? I feel sorry for Pastor Stephen, who has to work with me. How many years now? 8 years. Wow, you got to give him a hand. Put up with me. Yeah, right. But you know, if you're going to have a stable home, you need to have husbands and wives that are together in the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. So where do we begin with the home? The husband and the wife want to do what the Lord wants for them. In the fear of the Lord, verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. So you're submitting yourselves to do it because the Lord has asked you to do it. He's asked you to do it. Verse 25, husbands, what? Love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He gave himself for it. I've told you this before, for you that haven't heard it, laugh at the right spot. When my wife said, "Would you die for me?" I hesitated. Only once. Because every other time she's ever asked, I have immediately said, "Yes, and I wish, and I'm sorry if I'd only could die for you once." Christ died for the church. Husbands are to love their wives so much that they're willing to die for them. To die for them. Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. And be not bitter against them. That must be for another sermon. We find that Peter says, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. Giving honor. That doesn't sound to me like God wants some bully as a husband, right? He doesn't want a bully. He wants somebody that is going to be tender, but manly. Oh, did you hear what I said? Wants him to be what? Manly. And women are to be feminine. We are made that way. Contrary to society, God has made us male and female. And that's how he's done it. Society is constantly trying to change the rules. And every time they do it, all they do is mess up. That's all they do. Wives, as I said, are not second-class citizens. Just as husbands are not optional equipment. Unfortunately, we live in a society that is miserable, and we as born-again believers are not to follow their so-called advice. So much of today's society is dealt on selfishness. Me first. Do we find me first in 1 Corinthians chapter 13? Verse 4. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, charity. And I know some of the versions have changed the word to love. They've done it a misservice. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never what? Faileth. Should there be charity in the home? Yes. Chain of command. God, husband, wife, children. Children are not to run the home. Children are what? Children. You say, Pastor Paul, when your grandkids come, do you let them run the home? No. Sometimes they get frustrated. They think they're the grandkids and all they should be is spoiled. They can be spoiled. I send them home with all the sweets they can want. The Bible tells us that children are to obey their parents. Okay. We are the children of the Lord, and we are to obey the Lord. Sing a song of invitation, just as I am. Maybe you'd like to come this morning and just pray that you would be the husband you should be, or the wife you should be, or pray for someone who is struggling in their marriage. Just praying that the Lord would use you in your walk. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would bless this time of invitation. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.